invade their bodies to bring them to a place of health and of wholeness. Father, we thank you for this country. Even as we've come through this last week of all of those celebrations, Father, we are reminded that we live in a nation where we have these freedoms that many places around the world, they do not. Father, there are Christians that are being persecuted and even martyred today. Times, God, that we think are past that are still very much a part of the world. And God, I ask that you would protect your children wherever they are. We thank you for our country. We pray for our president and our vice president, for all of those in authority. Father, we do this out of obedience to your word, not because of a political agenda, but because, Father, we know that truly you are the only hope for this country. So may we, God, be a part of the solution that's going to require your love to be shown to the people around us. And now, Father, as we open your word, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Show us what it is, God, that you would have us to know, that we may leave this place different because of you. I pray all of these things in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as I just said, we have come through our time of celebration as a nation, our country's 250th birthday. Fireworks, historical reenactments. I have known some guys that were a part of that whole Gettysburg reenactment thing. I might have tapped out this year. I don't know that I would have been able to walk around in those wool uniforms that many of them wear, sleeping in tents and all that kind of thing, but it's important to a lot of people. There were parades, state pavilions down in D.C. Tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people that were participating. Because we Americans love our freedom. And as we spoke a couple of weeks ago, our nation was founded on the Declaration of Independence. We celebrate Independence Day every 4th of July. And it's not just as a nation, because certainly we all desire to be free, to be independent, if you will. Even our songs. I gotta be me, I gotta be me. Wow, I sounded like Ethel Merman there for a second. I went right into an Ethel Merman. I did it my way, but my Frank Sinatra's lousy. But we write songs about how I want it. It's just me. It's gotta be about my way and the way I do things. Certainly as parents, our primary goal is to teach our children to be independent. That's a part of your responsibility as a parent. But there's both a good and a bad in that. Certainly we all are delighted and very proud of them when they're able to begin to do things for themselves. And yet how many of you remember the first time your son or daughter said, I don't like when you tell me what to do? It's both of those things. Maybe some of you have never heard that because you're perfect parents. I'll just let you sit with that for a second. And certainly I think we are taught that in many ways our happiness is grounded in our independence. It begins with that. I want to be able to do what I want to do when I want to do it. Freedom to live my life as I see fit. Because that truly is what independence is. And independence in the way that our nation was founded. People being freed from the oppression of another group is certainly a good thing. But it has not stopped there. It then became important that we have freedom from any guide or direction other than what the individual themselves want. Is that not where we are now? People don't care what anybody else says you should or should not do. I'm going to do what I want to do. That's independence. And now we have people that are even taking that to the place of living outside of the law of the land. People say, listen, I wanted to do this. I don't care if it's illegal. This is what I'm going to do. There's a road coming up here from my house that's one way. There are signs, five of them I've counted, at the one end where you don't turn in. Kleindienst Road, those of you that know that area. One way. So I'm coming up, and here comes a car right at me. So I did the Christian thing. I rolled down my window and started screaming. Now, it was a loving scream, though. It was very gentle in my screaming. But I was just sharing with them the foolishness of what it was they were doing. I wanted to ask, which of these signs was confusing to you that said, don't drive down this road? Now, my brother was on the phone with me, and all of his kindness, he said, oh, that was nice, Pastor. I said, I didn't yell anything ugly. I was just making sure she understood. Yes, it was a woman. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. But you know, that independence has also brought us as a culture to the place now where we don't even want God telling us what to do. We do what we think is right, as the Bible often said, in my own eyes. And of course, the problem with that is that without the guide, without the moral compass of God in our lives, now it is the evil nature inherent in man that begins to dictate what's going to happen. Now, there are a lot of people that will still insist that's not a problem. Because man, they say, is inherently good at the core of who we are. Really? I haven't seen that. That's not what I have witnessed. Do you realize that in all of the recorded history of mankind, there has never been a period of time where there was not one war at least taking place somewhere around the world? We have always been in conflict with one another. You don't have to study history very long to see and to be aware of the horrific periods of genocide that took place in places like Germany and Poland, Rwanda, and the Sudan, to see what man is capable of without God. In this country, our crime rates are increasing. There are more and more people that are struggling because the joy and the love and the care and the concern that were just so common not that long ago are less and less evident. Because I'm independent. I don't need anybody else. I'm not letting anybody else tell me what I am to do. But you see, my friends, that's the world's definition of independence. That's how the world defines it. But here's the truth of the matter. We need each other. We need each other. Happiness is not found in isolation, with barriers and masks in place, all designed to keep people at a distance. It's not how we were wired from the very beginning. You do know that in prisons, the worst of the prisoners go to solitary confinement. They remove them from everyone else. It's a punishment to be by yourself for an extended period of time. And yet somehow we have lost the understanding of how important each other are in our lives. You see, my friends, happiness does not come from independence. Biblical understanding of happiness comes from an interdependence with one another. Because it's in our salvation that we are saved into a community. Community is an important word throughout the scripture. We see what Paul writes in Romans 12:5. He says, so in Christ we, though many, form one body. Each member belongs to all of the others. You see, this is a biblical principle. It's not just a matter of, do I like being around people or not? And I realize there are those that have personalities that are more given to being around people. There are also those personalities that tend to be less comfortable around a lot of people. That's not what this is referring to. This is not talking about a personality trait. It's talking about the fact that we, as God's creation, were created to be together, to need one another, to be a part of a community. Why is that important? Let me just give you a couple of things real quick. Why is community important for the Christian today? Well, first, we need others to walk with us. We need others to walk with us. Paul writes in Colossians 2, 6 through 7, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." You see, the Bible talks a lot about walking, about a walk as it relates to your life as a Christian. We're told to walk in the light. Psalm 89:15, "Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance." We're told to walk in love. Ephesians 5:2, "Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us." We're told to walk in the fear of the Lord. Acts 9:31, "Then the churches throughout all of Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied." Finally, we're told to walk in wisdom. Ephesians 5:15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as one who are wise." Why does the Bible use this word, walk? What is the significance, the importance of that? Well, my friends, it's very simple. It's because your life is a journey. It is not a sit-down thing that you do in living your life. Especially as a child of God, your life should be one of activity. It's one of movement. It's one of growth. So that every day I am learning more and more what it means to follow the Word of God. Every day, more and more, I'm learning what it means to be more like Him. Every day, I am learning what it means to respond to the things around me as a child of God. I've shared this and asked this question so many times. If we act no differently than everybody else, what is it people are going to see about who Jesus is in your life? You say, "Whoa, whoa, Pastor Dave, listen, man, I got a bad temper. I got a bad temper. I know. I shouldn't be this way. I screamed at my grandmother the other day. That's not good. I have never, Pete, once screamed at my grandmother, I promise." But we talk about things like that, like my temper gets a hold of me. I'm impatient. I want things a certain way. I'm fastidious. I'm very precise about things. None of those things can ever be a reason why we do not show people what it means to be a child of God. And there is a walk of our lives that is a part of that. You see, my friends, your life is about a destination. It's about getting to an end point. Now, that end point, according to the world, is very different than what it is for a Christian. Because our end point has nothing to do with possessions or retirement or a beach house. That was for you, Cobals. All of those things, there's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, I just want to talk to you about that. There's nothing wrong with those things, but that's not the destination point for a Christian. The destination point for a Christian is to live your life glorifying Him until that day He calls you home, and that's your destination. To receive that reward at the end because of the way that you have lived your life. But here's the primary point of what I want you to take away with you this morning. If you remember nothing else, except the fact that I might have screamed at my grandmother, I want you to remember this. You were never intended to walk through life, through this journey, alone. You were never intended to walk through this alone. Now, before some of you begin, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, wait a minute, I'm not married." This has nothing to do with your marital status. It has nothing to do with that. It's how we were created by God to live. It's how, as I said before, we were wired by Him from the very beginning. You look at the Garden of Eden. You follow the creation of man, the creation of the universe, all of those things that God brought into being through the word of His mouth, the Bible says. And we get to that point where He created man, created Adam. In Genesis 2:18, we read these very simple words. God looked and saw and said, "It is not good for man to be alone." It's not good for man to be alone. You see, that word alone in the original language has some real depth to it, because it not only means to be isolated, but it means to be barred from. It means to be separate in every way, not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually. It's not good that we are alone in those things. God said it's not good. Now let me ask you this. If God declares that that's not good for you, do you think he would not create you with a desire to want to fulfill that? It's just the same way that we are created with a desire to have a relationship with him. In the same way, you were not created to walk alone. But you see, our culture today, real big surprise here, is completely opposite to what God says we should be. Our culture values that independence, that I don't need anybody else, I'll do it by myself. We've now got scads of families that are creating themselves, that there's only just one person raising these children. That's not the way God created it to be. It may be the circumstances that you're in. You may have no control over that, but that should never be a desire of our hearts, because that's not how God created us. Now, Garrett, I get it. There are probably some of you sitting here thinking as I've been speaking, what's wrong with being alone? I like walking alone. I prefer to walk alone. Well, see, one of the great problems with that is that there's a failure to be able to learn. You don't learn when you're by yourself. You never learn how to cooperate with other people. You don't ever learn what it means to be in healthy relationships where there's give and take, where there's good, where there's struggles, to be able to forgive someone. And I don't believe that you ever really truly learn how to love or to be loved unless you are in community with the people around you. And I think one of the greatest things that we lose is that we never develop that ability to be able to show Jesus, because there's no one for us to live our faith out in front of. You see, and I realize some of you are going, listen, Pastor, I'm around people all the time. I get that. But just as this has nothing to do with your marital status, it doesn't also have anything to do with proximity. It has to do with your intentional relations with the people around you. You were never meant to go it alone. I know there are several times when I have fussed at you lovingly, because I'll find out something that you went through and you didn't tell anybody. You didn't tell me. I couldn't pray for you. Your family couldn't pray for you. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but how many of you, when things begin to get really hard, your natural inclination is to begin to draw in and begin to isolate yourself from people? I'm glad I didn't ask you to respond, because there'll be some of you by going, you need to raise your hand. You need to put your hand up. But see, that's not how we should live, especially as Christians. God has sovereignly brought this community together. Every single one of you are here this morning by God's design. From Kim, who's here for the very first time, to those of you that have been with us since Sunday number one, you were called to be here this morning, because you're a part of a community. You're a part of a family that comes together. And that's what God has called us to be to one another, to be a part of the community. And so practically speaking now, why is it better to walk with others in your life? For those of you that were thinking, listen, I've been down this path before, I don't think I need it, let me ask you to consider some things. First of all, it's safer when you're in a community. There is safety in numbers. If you remember when Joseph took Mary and Jesus on the way to Egypt to flee what Herod had decreed, it said they traveled with a group of people to go. I know you see the cards and all those things, and they're all by themselves, and Joe's leading the camel along. They were with a group of people. They would not have traveled alone by themselves. And you see, it isn't just a physical safety we're talking about. We're talking about a spiritual and emotional safety with people that know you and love you. Because, my friends, we need other people to see into our lives. There's a reason they call it a blind spot, because you can't see it. You're blind to it. That's one of the reasons we need other people to be able to speak into our lives, to help us to live in a way that those things do not become difficult or become things that are hurting us. So we need to travel and to be in community together because it's safer. Secondly, it's supportive, to be able to support one another. You know, it keeps you from giving up when you have somebody with you. I love to watch the geese fly. And they're flying. And they're flying in a V formation. You see the geese flying. And there are multiple reasons that they do that. Scientists are learning more and more about it. Very rarely do you see those things flying by themselves. But they fly in the V formation. Part of the reason is there's a lift, an aerodynamic lift that is created for each of the geese in line. It becomes easier to fly. They're always honking when they do that. It's a form of communication. I know I do my own honking in my own car, and nobody seems to listen to me when I do that. But they're encouraging one another to continue to fly. And you see that the V, do you know why? This is interesting. You know why one side of the V is longer than the other? Well, because there's more geese in that line. I mean, that's just... thought you would know that. But they need one another as they're flying. You always accomplish more in the gym if you're working out with somebody. Your projects at work, they're always more complete, better done when you've got others that are helping you with that project. There's an old African proverb that says, when you run alone, you run fast. When you run together, you run far. And see, that's what it is about the Christian walk in our lives. Because, my friends, our lives are not a sprint. They're a marathon. Our lives are a marathon, and we need people around us to encourage us. To encourage us not to give up when we're hurt. Encourage us not to give up when it just seems like the world is crashing down upon me. Because it's the love of God in each of us that we can then share with one another. But you need to be together. You need to come out of that hiding place. So when we walk with others, it's safer, it's supportive, and it's just plain smarter. It's smarter because you can learn from one another. I know I have taught countless number of people lessons by my life. Now, before you think I'm tooting my own horn, it's because of my failures that they learn these things. People can learn from you when you fail, just like they can learn from you when you're successful. And it's all a part of what it means to be a part of that community. Go back again to Genesis. And God created Adam. The animals, the beautiful, lush garden, it was perfect. But God said, wait, there's something missing. And so in that, God created Eve, the female, and in that, with their children, God created the first family. And whether the family is a physical one or whether the family is a spiritual one, it's important in our lives. So much so that the Bible continued to speak of it. In the Ten Commandments, God says, this is the 20th chapter of Exodus, that we are to honor our father and our mother. The foundation of the family unit. And then we read in John 13, 34 to 35, Jesus says to his disciples, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. My friends, that's the commandment for the physical family. But there's also a spiritual one. And we read in Hebrews 10, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up on meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but, and here's why we do that, to encourage one another. You see, God, out of his love for us and knowing what it was that we needed, gave us physical families, but he also gave us a safety net. He gave us a place that we can come when perhaps my physical family is no longer a part of my life for whatever reason. I still have a family. It's a spiritual family. I still recognize and know that even though my family may be gone, I am in need of other people in my life to walk with me. God gave us this for one another. See, my friends, we need to walk together because community is God's answer to loneliness. It's his answer to ensure that the very way he created us is being fed. Ephesians 4:16, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows, builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Paul is writing about the church as a whole. It's a gift that God has given to each of us so that we do not walk alone. The second reason it's important, the community, because we need others to work with us. You see, my friends, God did not create you just to take up space. That's not why you're here. God has a purpose for you, each and every one of you. God has an assignment for your life that was put in place and ordained and spoken over you since before you were born. He has a purpose for you. But we do this together. He's given us one another to encourage and to help in this task. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And then you go back into James, and he even reemphasizes that faith by itself, it is not accompanied by action, is dead. You see, my friends, there's an action that we are to have as a part of our lives. And God loves you so much that he didn't say, okay, you got to go off and do this by yourself. Not at all. We have a community to be able to live and to work within. You see, it's your talents, it's your gifts, your strengths, your experiences. All of those things have been given to you this morning by God in order for you to accomplish what it is that he wants for you. The job that you have been given, every one of us have been given a task to do. You say, Pastor Dave, what's my task? I don't know what your task is. This is why we pray. This is why we seek him. This is why we are in community, to be able to use those gifts that he's given us. And you know, you're always stronger when you're with someone else. Of the 1,200 or so weddings that I perform, many of them I have used Ecclesiastes 4:9 as a basis of what I share with them. Here's what it says: two people are better than one because they get more done by working together. That's a New Living Translation. Two people are always stronger than one. And you know, I think we witnessed that, and we're going to get to witness it today. I am sorry. We got to tear down the whole room today. I apologize. Our vacation may be over. But if it were just up to Roger and me to tear down this room, it would take an hour or two, probably, for us to get this all done. It would take a long time. Have any of you watched when we do it here together? It is literally 15 minutes and the room is cleared. That's what community is about. It's about joining together to accomplish the things that need to be done. It's not being afraid to reach out to someone and say, hey, listen, I got something going on. I could really use your help. Do you have any time? That's what it means to live in a community, is to work together to be able to accomplish those things. Because, my friends, community is God's answer to fatigue. This is how we keep from being worn down. It's how we keep from losing all of our energy, is because we are doing those things together. Paul writes in Galatians 6:10, whenever we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. There's that word family again. Witness was on the other night. Looking for the Phillies. Couldn't find them. There's Witness. All right, I'll watch that for a few minutes. And the barn raising scene, if you remember this, is they're going to build a barn and Harrison Ford's going to go help them. How many of you knew before he was an actor, Harrison Ford was a carpenter? So it's kind of a thing playing in there. See, that's something, Chris, you had no idea. There you go. Take that with you. Don't write it in your Bible. But the scene is they're going to do a barn raising and there's like 60 guys crawling all over it. They get this barn up in one day. It's amazing. But they're doing it together. Can you imagine how long it would take to build a barn if it were just you and maybe one or two other guys? The more hands you have, the more people in your community. It's God's answer to fatigue. Here's the last one. We need people to walk with us. We need people to work with us. Here's the last thing. We need others to watch out for us. We need others to watch out for us. I think there are a few things more comforting than to know that someone has your back. Someone's got you. Someone to defend you. Someone to protect you. To stand up for you. Maybe even help keep you on track. Again, Paul's writing. This is Philippians 2, 3 to 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others, to help the people around you. How many of you, when you go on vacation, you might contact a neighbor and say, hey, listen, we're going to be gone for a week. Could you keep an eye on things? Just, you know, if the house catches on fire, you know, call somebody, help us out. So you have people that can take care of your physical things, but let me ask you this. Do you have anybody that's looking out for your soul? I'll say, what does that mean? What that means is there anybody in your life who is helping to protect your heart, to protect your spirit, to protect your soul? Who asks you the tough questions? Who in your life have you given permission to say, listen, whatever you need to ask me, you ask me. Whatever it is you're seeing, you need to tell me about it. I've got a couple people, two people in my life like that. And they have permission to ask me anything they want to at any time. Do you have anybody like that in your life? Do you have anybody that asks you the tough questions? Have you given anybody permission to do that? And let me ask you one other thing. Is there anybody that you're doing that for? You're their watch for them. Now, if the answer to either of those questions is no, the next one is, why not? Are you not willing to be vulnerable to that? Because here's the thing about giving someone permission to do that, and this is the part that's hardest of all, is you have to be willing to receive what it is they're going to say, knowing that they're doing it in love. Isn't it interesting how so many things come back to pride in our lives? Because if you're a proud person, you're not willing to hear any of this. I'm not, you know, someone says, hey, why are you doing this? And boom, you get defensive right away. That's not their problem. That's yours. We need one another to help watch over us. Because that's exactly the type of relationship that we need if we're going to continue to grow in our faith, continue to grow in maturity, continue to be more like Him. We need somebody to point out the blind spots. Hebrews 13:1 tells us, keep on being concerned about each other as the Lord's followers should. The most important word in that verse is the word keep. It means continue. It means to be vigilant. Who do you have in your life that does that? Are you able to tell someone, listen, man, you can call me on anything. I won't fight you. I won't argue. I want to hear what you have to say. I'll tell you what, my friends, if you can get to that point, you have taken a major step towards keeping the enemy from being able to pour all kinds of nonsense in you, in those blind spots, in those places that you cannot see, they can be called out. But it takes community to be able to do that. Because, my friends, community is God's answer to defeat. It's His answer to defeat. Ecclesiastes 4:10. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. And see, yet again, we continue to insist on independence from all of those things. Especially, guys, that's how men are raised still in this culture. Don't you cry. I'll give you something to cry about. I always thought that was an interesting parental statement. You want to cry? I'll give you something to cry about. No. It's okay to cry, guys. It's okay to be wounded. It's okay to be hurt. It's okay to be vulnerable, because that's the way God created us to be. He created us to be a part of a community. You see, God's answers to so many of the things that make life difficult can be found right here in community, in His love. You see, because again, when you get right down to the core of it, it's not because you're so wonderful or I'm so wonderful. It's because of God's presence in this place, God's presence in your life, that you can then turn and share that with others and allow them to share it with you. It's a part of a family. We need to walk with people. We need them to work with us. We need them to watch over us. Because again, it's through the community of believers that you will be at your strongest. It's within a community of believers that you're going to be fulfilled in the way that God created you to be. But that also means you're going to be there in the moments of greatest joy and in the moments of greatest despair. But community means I don't bail on you. I'm still there with you. I'm still going to walk with you through those tough times. Romans 12:15 says that we're to be happy with those who are happy, and we're to weep with those who weep. Have you ever cried with someone just because they were struggling so bad? Yeah. I've learned to do that more and more, to understand and appreciate that, just to sit with someone. Because again, community is not answering everybody's problem. Can I just let you off the hook with this? You're not called to be the answer to someone's problem. You're there just to show them the love of Jesus. God may work through you, but that's not why you're there. You're there to love them. You're there to share with them. You're there to support them, to care for them. You can desire to be independent, but don't ever try to go it alone. That's not the way that God made us, and that's not what His desire is for each of us. No matter what it is we're going through in our lives, be a part of what God's doing among the people around you. Amen? Let's pray together. Well, Father, I thank You for the truth of Your word this morning, and I thank You, Father, that in this, we are able to recognize